This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome, I'm Tanya Bustos reporting from the newsroom in New York. Coming up, what makes people happy in relationships in this digital era? On the brink of yet another Valentine's Day, those are the big questions we're asking. Luckily, we have the CEO of eHarmony, Grant Langston, here to talk the current digital landscape and what its latest online dating poll reveals. But first, these tech headlines. Uber agreed to settle a lawsuit with Alphabet's Waymo over claims that it stole trade secrets of self-driving vehicles. As part of the agreement, Uber promised not to use Waymo technology in its self-driving cars and to ensure no Waymo components were already in use. The legal fight revolved around Uber's $680 million acquisition in 2016 of autonomous truck company Otto, founded by Anthony Lewandowski, a former star engineer at the Alphabet Google unit. The agreement marks the end of a year-old legal battle for both companies. Amazon is preparing to launch a delivery service for businesses, positioning it to directly compete with UPS and FedEx, dubbed Shipping with Amazon, or SWA. The new service will roll out in Los Angeles in the coming weeks and aims to expand to more cities as soon as this year. And if commercial space taxis stall? Don't worry, NASA has a plan B. With Boeing and SpaceX plans to transport crews to the International Space Station behind schedule, NASA is considering turning the test flights into modified operational missions. This ensures continuous U.S. presence on board the orbiting laboratory. Boeing and Elon Musk's SpaceX have previously said they are on track to complete one test flight with people on board by the end of this year. Coming up, the CEO of eHarmony talks the digital dating landscape and the company's latest survey reveals about online dating. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. eHarmony CEO Grant Langston made his way to the Wall Street Journal to discuss the results of a recent poll by the famed online dating service. In this digital age, what makes people happy and frustrated in relationships? Let's get more from the Wall Street Journal's J.R. Whalen.
So what goes into a happy relationship? Is it really a lot of work, as our married friends tell us? eHarmony recently polled people in relationships, both heterosexual and same-sex relationships, who consider themselves happy or desperately unhappy. And CEO Grant Langston is here with us to discuss. So, Grant, people who are happy seem to have mastered the basic tenets of maintaining a good relationship, more likely to compromise and more likely to seek counseling if bumps in the road were to arise.
You know, it's really an open question as to whether they're well-matched on the front end or they learn these things. We tend to think that couples are sort of engineered to work or not work. And in this case, the couples that come together and have a lot of similarity in these important areas, they both are optimistic. They both like to compromise. They both address conflict in similar ways. Those sort of similarities are what carry the relationship forward in a frictionless way. And the couples that report being happy, they just have a lot more similarity than the people that are unhappy.
And the couples that reported themselves being happy tended to know a lot more about each other when they got serious or when they got married, including, in some cases, being on online dating services or, in some cases, living together or what have you. So having a familiarity with someone seems to be very important.
It's vital. In fact, you know, we always tell people that the more data points you can have about a person, you need to see them in many, many different ways. You need to see them disappointed. You need to see them frustrated. You need to see them, you know, joyous. You just need a lot of data to feel like you really know who a person is deep inside. And that's important information before you decide to go and build a relationship with them.
It seems like the boundary between being happy or unhappy in a relationship in the eHarmony poll seemed to largely run along age lines. And what struck me is that people who are unhappy in a relationship tended to have been married before. And I wondered if it kind of made me come to a full stop, because I thought that someone who might have been married before would have been armed with more knowledge and more instinct going into a relationship down the line. But that didn't seem to be coming out in the poll results.
Well, it is a fact that divorce rates go up for every subsequent marriage. So, you know, this idea that people learn their lesson and then they go and do it better in the next one or the next one after that, it just isn't true. What tends to happen is that people try to solve the problems of the previous marriage by finding someone that is different than the previous partner, but the net gain of compatibility is often less. And so, you know, you've got to really take the time to learn the lessons of why a relationship failed and not just move on to the next one and make the same kinds of mistakes. It's a very common problem. The thing eHarmony doesn't do is try and match people on physical attraction, because humans are good at that. They don't need our help with that part.
You don't need computers for that.
Right. We just need to get you in a room together. You'll sort out who you're attracted to. The thing that people are not very good at is understanding what the long-term compatibility is with another person, because, of course, that's something that you discover over time, and that's what we focus our efforts on.
It's also interesting that, money can't buy love, or so we're led to believe, but wealth has a major bearing on relationship happiness.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah, it does not buy love, certainly, but the couples that don't have money have a very tough time together, and it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that financial frustrations just wear on people. And you can take two very good people, put them under enough stress, and the marriage just splinters and cracks. And that's what we see here. Couples that are happiest tend to report having more education and tend to report making more income.
And they also tend to have more alcohol. This is what brought me to a full stop also, is that the happiest couples, they drink alcohol regularly and often together. And I thought, well, that'll do it.
It helps, doesn't it? It helps smooth out the rough spots.
What is it that kind of surprised you? Because there are a lot of things here in your survey results that we talked about. People understand the basic tenets of things, learn how to compromise and communicate and understand each other's feelings and such. But what is it that jumped out at you?
One of the things that's most surprising to me is what's happening in the millennial cohort here, the group of people that's, say, 24 to approximately 35. That is a group that has a reputation for being poor communicators, because they've all been raised with screens. They have a reputation for being entitled. We all know these sort of things about millennials, but what we see here is very contrary to that. Millennials, especially men, are much better at communicating, much better at compromise. Men are much more likely to go to therapy. So once in a relationship, this group seems to understand that investing in these ways yields a lot better results. We parent boys a lot different now than we used to. And it used to be, you're not hurt, get up, right? I mean, that's what I heard from my dad and my coaches and the men in my life, was to be tough and focus on the outside. And so it's hard for some of us at 50 to talk to our spouses about emotional stuff, because we just aren't familiar with our interior world. And this male millennial group seems to have been raised differently. They have a different comfort level with having those conversations.
And the eHarmony poll reached out to people in both same-sex relationships and relationships with men and women. But as you pointed out to me before we actually did the interview, is that it'll take a couple of additional subsequent polls to find out trends among same-sex relationships and people in those relationships.
That's right, because they weren't married before a certain date. And so, we'll have to be patient to learn these things. But it is possible to slice and dice this data in some interesting ways to understand, maybe couples that never live together and never get married but stay together for years, maybe they're happier. The not having to be a roommate part, maybe that makes them happier. This is the kind of stuff we want to dig into. We've had this data about a month, and we're just getting started really breaking down all the details.
Well, love is in the air, and the one thing this survey pointed out is that the basic tenets of love prevail in terms of communication, making each other laugh, understanding each other's feelings. So I come away with that as it being good news.
Yes, I'm very optimistic about the results here.
All right, that's eHarmony CEO Grant Langston joining us here in our studio. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York. Thanks for listening.